Welcome back to another edition here of the Founding Members Club Only Calls. I want you to go ahead right now if you have a moment, and if you're listening online, go ahead and submit your question. If you're on the phone, press star 2 if you have a question that you want to get off your chest kind of during this call and get an answer to. Anything that you want sort of taken care of. Press star 2 on the phone, and again, type in your question in the Q&A box there if you're listening on the web. And today we're going to be going over some awesome content, of course, as always. But we're focusing mostly on pattern interrupts today. I'm going to talk a little bit more about what they are, how to use them so that you can kind of make good use of this really powerful psychological trigger in your interactions. And also some, you know, probably going over a few things that could go wrong with that process as well. But more than anything, this is the last call for this month, and I really like to get a lot of Q&A in during this call. So we're going to go as long as there are questions once I'm done to covering the content. But if there are no more questions, we'll end whatever that time is. So any questions? No? Okay, bye, guys. No, I'm just kidding. So today, as far as pattern interrupts go, I want to get into that in just a minute and explain a little bit about how to use them and everything. But first, I'd like to get to the first question that we had, because I saw it on here. It's from Vince in Texas, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase what he wrote and then get to it, because it's kind of could be a lengthy answer. So Vince sort of writes, just to paraphrase, writes that he's been with a girl for a couple of years, and everything was great. Their sexual experience, the sexual relationship was really fulfilled, I guess, is the way to put it. But then she recently went and became very religious, or maybe she was always been religious, but she now is sort of paying attention to it more, and she wants to wait until she's married to have sex, and he doesn't know what to do. He's kind of like, you know, stuck out and you know, pushed outside in the cold there, and he wants to know sort of what my advice would be. My initial thought on this is, yeah, you know, I understand you want to support her in this process and everything, but you're going to need to tell her that this is a big deal to you, because what will end up happening is you'll end up cheating, and if you end up cheating, you're going to ruin your relationship on purpose so that you don't get caught cheating, and then this is all going to be over. So if you want to sort of stay within integrity, you're going to have a really serious conversation with her, and you're going to have to be willing to walk away from this if she says no and it's not going to be good enough for you. If sex in your relationship is very important to you, which I'm guessing it is, as it is for most people in general, and sex is really important to her too, you know, then you're going to have to, you know, be willing to say, look, if you don't want to have sex in our relationship, then I can't be with you. Now, that being said, I have known several people who have been completely happy not having sex until they got married. Then they got married, and it was great, and they lived together and whatever. But those people that typically are not the people who are searching out answers, like you are. They're not usually members of the Founding Members Club, things like this. People who they don't basically make a life decision to focus on improving themselves with their social skill set like you are. So my guess is that you are hungry for knowledge, hungry for experience, and hungry for growth. And if that's the case, then you're probably not going to be happy being stuck in a relationship where you feel like you can't explore yourself sexually with this person, especially since you've already had a lot of sex with her already, and then all of a sudden it's just cut off. So she's probably going to choose religion over you in this case. If you ask her right now, you don't just want to say, hey, it's me or religion. You can't say that. But what you do want to say is probably something closer to, look, I really want to be with you, and I really, you know, if you love her, if you already told her that you love her, then say, you know, I really love you, and I need you to know that this is really hard for me to go without sex, because I need it. I need sex, and it's like how I show that I love you, you know, but I'm not ready to get married yet, and I don't want to get married just because I want to have sex. That doesn't seem right. It seems kind of blasphemous, you know. And as long as you kind of frame this like, look, you're in between a rock and a hard place, if she refuses to budge, it's really like she's saying, I don't care about you. So she's either going to say, okay, look, let's just, do everything but sex. But sex, I don't know if that's going. Everything except sex or whatever she was is still within her belief she may still do. But the last thing you want to do, this is the last thing you want to do, is you do not want to seduce her, even though she said she didn't want to have sex until she's married. You don't want to seduce her anyway. Because what'll happen is she will immediately begin to associate massive amounts of guilt with her sexual experiences with you, and sex is the most powerful reinforcer. Psychologically. So it's even more powerful than drugs. I mean, the ones that simulate the same serotonin response that we experience during sex are the ones that are most addictive because those are the drugs that are most addictive because sex is the most powerful reinforcer. So if you're going to do that and she starts to feel bad afterwards, she'll actually break up with you. So you don't want to do that. You don't just want to try to seduce her, and instead you want to sort of come clean with her and like sit down and be like, "Look, we really need to talk about this because I can't. We need to find a compromise in here or something, right?" So otherwise, you'll start out with just like fervent masturbation, which will be your next step, and then after that, chafing experiences will happen, and then you'll begin to sort of resent her for not letting you show that part of you to her, to not feeling like you can open up to her like that, and then eventually you'll probably cheat, or she'll suspect that you're cheating and she'll cheat on you, even though she said she didn't want to have sex when she was married. So you can get into a lot of really sticky situations with this. And of course, I understand that religion is a huge factor, especially in when it comes to logical attraction. If you don't have an alignment on beliefs long term, or you don't come to some kind of agreement that neither of the two of you know what's going to happen after you die, or you don't know if there's a God, whatever it is, right? You need to have some kind of a common ground where you meet, because if you don't, one of you is just lying so that you can keep the other one there, and that only lasts as long as you want the other one there, and you feel like they have something to dangle over you. So it sounds like you're in a situation now where you're kind of a giving something up that means a whole lot to you, even though, and you're not bringing it up and saying, no, look, I need this, and I need you to know that, and if you care about me, we're going to work this out. But if you don't, then we won't work it out, and that'll be the end of it. You have to be willing to walk away from it. It's kind of like saying, if you're dating a girl, and then all of a sudden she says, I really want to sleep with other guys as well. And you're like, and you're in an exclusive relationship, and you're like, no, I don't want that, right? I don't want that to happen. It'd be like her all of a sudden going, well, too bad, I'm gonna go do it anyway. And then she starts doing it, and then you're just sitting there, right? Being cheated on all day. You wouldn't do that. You'd put your foot down. You'd be like, no, you're not doing that. I'm leaving, right? So, she needs to know where your boundaries are. But at the same time, you can't just go, hey, it's either me or religion, because that's not gonna work, man. So, Vince, you got a sticky situation, that's for sure. And it's not going to be very easy for you to get past it. You're not going to be able to be passive aggressive during this process. You're going to have to go out and really seek out that confrontation around this topic, and then just go, look, I know it's going to take a little while, but I'm interested and willing to work this out until we get through the other side. If she's not willing to work it out, then that's the end of your relationship. She has to be willing to talk to you about it, but you have to bring it up in a way that isn't like my way or the highway sounding, because then you'll scare her off. So that would be my go-to there. So I hope that helps, Vince. I'm not sure if it does. Just send me a little note there. It's probably not the best thing in the world to hear because it's not going to be an easy one, but it's what'll work. If you want what works, then that's it for sure. If you're looking for something that feels good, then you wouldn't be here, I guess. I don't typically say stuff just to make you feel better. So, looks like we have, I think this might be Vince here on a call. Vince, I'm gonna go ahead and unmute you. I gotta warn everybody though, I don't have my mic set up, so I'm using the mic on my computer. So if I unmute you and you start hearing an echo, I won't know. So if you do hear an echo, if you're listening on the web, just go ahead and send me a note in the Q&A box and let me know and I'll see if I can solve it, but I doubt I will be able to. So we'll just do this selectively today. So, are you there?
Hey Josh, it's me, Vince.
It is you. Okay, great. How's it going?
Going good. Just listening to my question I was answered. You're pretty much dead on for the most part, and it is a sticky situation where I want to bring it up, but I don't want it to sound like it's like how you're saying like it's my way or I'm gonna leave.
Yep.
I take one situation in it, but I'm also wanting to grow as a person and develop more social skills and being able to go out in public and socialize and meet people and just mature more. And I used to be one of the like in your book you would say categories like a number six. I used to sell myself a lot and then kind of slowly evolved and got away from that. And my ultimate goal has been like a 9 or 10, but I am kind of, I have some of the characteristics so far, but it's a work in progress.
Right, it always is.
Yeah.
So,
And,
you know, one thing I can tell right now from hearing your voice, is that, first off, I'm going to tell you that you sound defeated already. I mean, you sound like you've had a really, really hard time, and that there's a part of you that's struggling to believe that this is going to work still. Not what I told you, but that this relationship's going to work. You know? And I can tell that by listening to basically what you're doing is after everything you say, you're exhaling. Because it's soothing. So you're actively trying to soothe yourself as you're talking to me. And that means that you believe. That tells me that you need to be soothed, and you want this just to go away. You want to go back to the way things were, you know, and that's okay. Like that's okay to want that. You know, I think that's reasonable for you. One question I do have though, is how old is she?
I'm 27 and she's 22.
22. Okay, is she still in school or anything?
Yeah, she's in grad school.
Grad school. Does she live near her parents?
No, actually, she's originally from New York, and she moved down here to South Texas for school, and she lives with a like extended family.
Someone's got an influence on her. I'll tell you that. I don't know who it is, but somebody made
Like,
her. What is that?
she was telling me that growing up she used to have like a childhood friend that lived with her and her family in New York, and like when they were like 18 or so, she got pregnant, and her parents told her friend that they were disappointed in her for being pregnant, and she told me recently that I guess it's part of a psychological thing where I guess having sex, I guess just being raised having sex was like, I guess, a big no-no and anything related to that. So I'm kind of leaning towards like her parents.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. That would be my guess, because it sounds like there's guilt involved. Like she wants to do it, she likes it, enjoys it a lot, but she's racked with guilt around this concept, you know? So, the first thing you're gonna, I mean, if you really want this to work out long term, she's gonna have to be interested in improving herself as well. Because if she's not, you're gonna be growing and she's not going to grow, and then you're gonna outgrow her and you're not gonna need her anymore. Or want her anymore. You know, I know that might sound weird coming from you being in the position that you're in right now, because it's not like it doesn't sound very likely to you, but it will happen. You know, I'm sure that if you step back for a second and you think about it, you can imagine it happening. You know, especially at the rate at which you're growing currently, and which is probably a lot more rapid than the average person because you're here. That's how I know that. You know. And you're struggling with this and you're bringing it up, which tells me that you're actively seeking out how to overcome things. It sounds like she's actively seeking out how to avoid things. That you're gonna have to get on the same page. You have to get on the same page. That basically means that you're gonna have to go into confrontation mode, not like in an angry way, but you're gonna have to confront whatever is standing in your way. So, and she needs to feel that way too. She needs to feel like it's something that she wants to do, that she wants to bring stuff up. Otherwise, it'll be you always bringing up the things that bother you, and she will always be defending herself and feeling like she's not worthy. And then eventually, somebody will make her feel like she is worthy, even if they're just lying to her or like trying to take advantage of her, and she'll like it'll be amazing for her. You know what I mean? And then it'll be compared to you. You're trying to actually help her, but she doesn't see that yet. You know? So
yeah,
you don't want that to happen either. So if you do want to stay with her, you know, and you want to work it out, you're going to have, and you know, when you get in a relationship, it's a lot different than meeting a girl for the first time. You have to be willing to put in a lot more effort into one person, you know? So a girl, if a girl was doing this and you just met her, I mean, you'd literally just be like, ah, sorry, you know, not going to happen. I'm going to leave. And you would just phase it out. Wouldn't matter to you. You know, and I find that very, like, in business as well, this is a really, really, really important business question you may want to ask yourself, you know, just in general, but I learned this in business. But it also works in relationships, and that is, if I had to do it all over again, if I could go back now and start again from scratch, would I date this person? You know, knowing what I know now, would I still date this person? And the same thing in businesses, you know, knowing what I know now, would I still, you know, use this software, or would I still hire this person, or would I still, you know, partner with this person, things like that. excuse me. And if the answer is ever no, you wouldn't, then you made your decision already. And it's scary because we're avoiding that for a reason. We're avoiding it because we're scared that we're going to lose somebody. So, you can't let the fear of losing this girl take you away from integrity as a man, because then you're on a slippery slope, brother. And then everything after that's going to be, well, you know, I sold my integrity to this girl, so why don't I, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm the kind of person who would do that, and then you start acting like that, you know, and you can't afford to do that, man. You know, you've got a, you know what you need? How many guy friends do you have that are into this stuff?
Making to the tower better?
Yeah, that kind of stuff, or dating, or improving themselves in general.
I tried getting one into it. He hasn't really got into it as much.
Yeah, so zero, basically.
One.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you sound like you're all alone, dude, but you're not. I mean, you're not alone. You're just alone in proximity. Have you, I mean, you're in Austin, or are you somewhere else?
No, I have an Austin number, but I'm from South Texas.
Okay. Have you gone to the members area and tapped into anybody else who's nearby?
Yeah, there's like maybe two nearby. I've added them as a friend and message, but I had no luck.
Okay. Well, I would keep trying, man. You know, I mean, anybody else who was in surrounding areas too. I know there's a whole lot of people in Texas. Just get in touch with as many people as you can, and make a day trip or something out and meet them, and just talk to them in person, because you got to experience that. You got to know what it's like to meet up with somebody who's like minded like you, and then realize that there's other you have a lot of options. Right now, you're coming from a place that doesn't sound like you feel like you have a lot of options. Sounds like this is a girl and she likes you and you're trying to go for it. Like, doesn't sound like you're going, well, you know, there's plenty of girls that I could date, you know? And, and if this doesn't work out, you know, you're not looking at this in a healthy way. You're not looking at it like, if this isn't right for her, I want to make sure that she has time still while she's young to find some guy who is into that, you know? But that's not you. So, you really need to think about that. I mean, you're the more mature person here. You're older, at least, you know? So you need to, if you care about her, you need to be thinking about not wanting to waste your time. If it isn't going to work out, you need to end it sooner, you know? But that's not the case yet. I would check it out and talk to her. And if she's super resistant, just let her know that if she keeps being resistant to this and she's not willing to entertain any idea of working through this, then you're going to be gone, you know? So, good luck.
And one of the things I wanted to avoid was, like how you were saying, to avoid any form of seduction, because it would associate guilt with it.
Yeah.
And that was a really good concept that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, the natural thought is to be like, you know what, I want power. You feel powerless, so the natural desire is to gain power back. And the way that most people gain power back is by trying to force something, and that's not finesse. You know, there's no finesse in that. So you're taking a step down if you do that, and if you do take a step down, you're going to come out worse than when you started. So you can't really afford to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. If it were me in your situation, I would be just as stressed out sounding as you are, dude. You sound really stressed, you know? And I would be in the same position. But you need your friends right now. You need to tap into this, dude. You need to like get in touch with some people in the members area, even if you just call them and chat with them. You know, you need to be with other DAO brothers of yours who are like, look, I'm into this self-improvement stuff and this is what I've seen and it'll make you feel better, you know? And then you'll get the strength to say what you need to say. And you know, it might work out really well. She may be very happy about it. She may be like, thank you for telling me. I just get nervous. I need you to help me through this. And maybe it'll work out. But if she's not mature enough to do that yet, then you may have to let her go until she does mature up to get to that place. You know what I mean? And you don't want to be angry. You don't want to, you know, push her, nothing like that. It's just you making your decisions as a man. You understand, Vince?
Yeah, I got you.
Cool. Well, you know, if you, I would talk to her as soon as possible. You know, I don't know when that'll be, but it turns out, by the way, a lot of gurus are in Austin right now. So if you guys are in Austin, there's like dating gurus, like probably 50% or more of my friends that are in this industry that teach professionally are all in Austin right now for like meeting up for an event. So if you do go out to anywhere and you want to like run into some people, Austin's the place to go, right at the moment. But either way, man, just let us know. We'll help you through it. That's what we're here for. So, you know, as you prepare for it, if you can, like, just get the strength to do it. You know, you're a grown man. You know, I'm 29 years old, and you're heading there. You know, and you're a grown ass man. You gotta step up to the plate. You know, and tell people what you feel. So, and she's definitely in your relationships. So, does that help at all, Vince?
Yeah, for sure. It gives me like a better direction, better insight, like what
Yeah.
to take and
It's
what
not
to
making it
do.
easy, but it'll make it, at least it'll help with your decision. Like the part of you that's saying, dude, you gotta do this is right. You do have to do it. So that's the other part of you that hopes it's not gonna happen is wrong. And you just need to like breathe deep for a little bit and go, all right, you know, start to think about life outside of that relationship just in case it goes down. And then if it does, then if it works out, awesome. You know? And if not, that's okay. Because otherwise it would have just been both of you dragging each other along for a long period of time. That wouldn't have worked out. So, all right, Vince, I'm gonna go ahead and thanks so much for your question, man.
All right, thanks, Anna.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Looks like Lance has something to say about this. We're getting off on a little bit of a tangent, but that's okay. Lance, what you got, brother?
Hey, I don't want to address particularly what you just discussed, if that's okay, because I think you covered it real well.
Okay.
And is this like an open forum, or is there a particular area you want me to focus
No, go
on?
ahead, man. If you have a question, that's fine. I'll get into material as soon as the questions sort of subside a little bit, so.
But actually, I think my topic dovetails well.
Okay.
If you remember when I told you, like the past couple of years, my skills accelerated. I dated nines and tens and managed them pretty well. Some of them were just too high maintenance, and I got frustrated.
Yep.
But recently, I've been dating a woman now for like 3 months, and it's been really good. You know, she's not a 9 or a 10, but she's, you know, attractive. Very successful doctor, she makes tons of money. She's divorced with a 14-year-old son. There's a great support system. And of all the women I've dated, this is one of the best connections, meaning she's not demanding, not bitchy. We have great sex together. She's totally into it from a tantra, spiritual way, just having fun and being playful. Very low maintenance. And, it's really good. We're hitting the 3 month mark, so we're going to have to define where it's going. And I have that's challenging me. And then I have another part of my decision process where, you know, she's about my age, about 50, and I kind of would like to be involved with a woman who are more like 35-ish in case I want to have a kid because I'm in a good position in my life if I wanted to be Mr. Mom or whatever.
That's a scary
And
thought.
like just yesterday, I met a like probably 33-year-old total hottie came to my house for a business thing. She came back again, and we, you know, I asked her out for a glass of wine, and she said, "Yeah, that would be nice." And it made me realize, yeah, I can get a 33 or 35 year old, and
yeah,
I've been
you
hanging
get a
out
22
with
year old, you
older
get an 18 year old,
males,
you know?
Like late 60s,
mm-hmm.
and they have 35 year old girlfriends all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I don't know if I could be happy with or without a kid, having
mm-hmm.
my own,
mm-hmm.
and I could have a really great life with a woman more my age who makes great money. We could live really well,
mm-hmm.
and I make money. So I'm kind of like, how do I filter this and sort it? Do you kind of know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. I get where you're going with this. So I guess the question, in my mind, is, so you have, does being with a woman who's your age that can't have kids, and but having a lot of money, to do whatever, does that feel like settling to you?
Well, that's a great question. Not totally, because I only said she made good money because that means she has options too, and I make pretty good money, not as much as her. You know, she's like a triple certified physician in three specialties and
mm-hmm.
makes great money, but that's not so much a factor.
Lance, I can tell you right now that the answer is yes. I can hear it in your voice that you think that you would be settling. So that answers your question.
Yeah.
You know, don't waste her time.
Yeah.
You know, just be done with it. Be like, look, this is great, but I can't. You know, I wouldn't even, if I were you, I wouldn't drop the, hey, you're 50, you're too old card on her. It's gonna ruin her. You know.
Oh no, I would never be mean to people like
yeah.
that.
But you know, at the same time, yeah, that is true. But still, I mean, I would let her know that you know, that you're seeing, that you see other people, and then and you hope that's okay, you know, that you're not going to be
well,
with her
I'm
forever.
Not pursuing aggressively other women. I'm just sort of testing the waters, like with this 33-year-old the other day,
mm-hmm.
just kind of seeing if she would bite, and I don't doubt I could get a 33 or 35-year-old.
I don't doubt you could get a 25-year-old.
But I don't want someone that young.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't blame you.
Just someone who's cool and has functional ovaries in case I wanted to have a kid.
Well, you know, it sounds like you do want to have a kid.
Well, you know, I think with me, if I want to be real personal, both my
mm-hmm.
parents died when I was rather young, so
mm-hmm.
my nuclear family was blown out of the water, and I'm an only child.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that tape is running in the back of my head too.
Yeah, you may feel a duty to continue the family tree. You know. It's very possible.
And I have nothing else. I mean, I've got one successful career behind me. I'm in another one.
Mm-hmm.
I've been all over the world. I don't know what else I can accomplish except, you know, make a lot of money. That would be about it.
Make a lot of money and be a father, you know.
That would be it. Or
yep.
just marry a woman and live a kind of a luxury life, so to speak.
Yeah. It sounds like that's, you could, but it's your life, you know. As far as we know, you only live once, you know. I say go for as big as you want to go, as big as you can think, and then just head for it. And if you fall a little shy, that's fine, you know. But it's way better than going, well, you know, I could just do this comfortable lifestyle. That doesn't sound like you, Lance. I mean, it doesn't sound like you're looking for just a comfortable lifestyle. You've since I've known you, you've been doing nothing but push yourself, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I'm definitely driven.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I guess it's hard.
Go ahead.
I was saying, I guess it's hard for me to end this with this woman because we have a great sexual connection and she's just wonderful to be around. I can't, other than that, I can't think of a reason why I wouldn't want to be with her. She's very nice and fun and respectful and sexy and,
you know,
smart.
As you go through this sort of process where you're improving yourself and you recognize you have a lot more options, piece by piece, you begin to go through what you're going through right now. And that is, you start to ask yourself all these metaphysical questions about what you actually want. And these questions have never come up really before for you, not in the way that they do now, because now they're within reach, and they're going to be within reach forever. So in your situation, man, if I were you, it's, yeah, there's no reason to break up with her, but there's also no reason to stay with her. You know, and you need a reason now. You're at that level. You've graduated to the place where it's not just good enough to not have a reason to break up anymore. You need more than that, you know? Like, look, the girl that I was with before Kelsey, I had no reason to break up with her. Everything was fine, you know? Probably a very similar situation to what you're in. But, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't perfect for me. So I left. You know, and it was very, very, very difficult for me to do. And as soon as I did, I met Kelsey. You know? So,
yeah, that just, like, with this girl I recently met, which I had no idea if it'll go anywhere, but that was just an example of how a beautiful young woman just, like, appeared in my life.
That'll keep happening, man.
I mean, and I was sitting in my living room, and she's working up, like, switching over my cable provider, and, you know, I'm Lord of the Manor, and she's, like, really getting into me. We're having a great conversation, and I just, when she left, I said, we should meet for wine sometime, and she kind of smiled and said, that would be great. And, like, it just shows me that it can appear.
Yeah, and it will. So, you know, the thing is, if you're with a woman who's older, again, you gotta be honest with yourself. If you're with this woman who's older and you settle and it becomes apparent later on, are you going to be tempted to cheat? And the answer is probably yes, you know? So I think that you should go for what you want, man. If it's what you want, go make it happen. You know, don't settle for the less than perfect. You know, you've got plenty of time. You got plenty of time to come across somebody who you feel is perfect for you. You know what I mean?
Now, would it be, like, wrong to continue with this woman? At least, basically, we get together every weekend and have great sex and go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. Would that be wrong to continue that for a while just because we're exploring this connection?
If I were you, I would back off a little bit, though. I wouldn't be so consistent every weekend.
Yeah, I've been worried about that.
Yeah, you don't want to start a pattern. If you have a pattern like that, a habit, then you get into a monogamous relationship on accident, because that's what we monogamy is, monotonous, you know? It is the same pattern. It's a thing over and over and over again, you know? And if you're with somebody who you want to be with every second of the day, then that's awesome. But if you're not, then, you know, it's not a good thing to do, because you have somebody there who is close to perfect but not good enough for you to be with forever, and you know that.
Yeah, and I think what I've offered her, I don't feel bad, but she had got divorced, and I might want one of her new experiences, and I've opened her up sexually. I've taken her out of her shell.
Yeah, but it's not your responsibility, dude. Lance, she's not your responsibility.
No, I'm not saying I did that out of an obligation.
I know that. I'm just saying that I know you did that, and you took her to a new place. I'm just letting you know that even though you took her to a new place, that does not make her your responsibility. You know? Like, I know that when you take a girl to a place where she's never been before, that there can be a really strong feeling of obligation, like you have to keep her, you know, like you have to make sure she's okay because you brought her there, you know. But that's not the case, man. She's not your responsibility. No. You have to know that too.
And I should feel good that I gave her a wonderful experience.
I don't know if it's good if you should or shouldn't feel anything, but I do know that I would be proud of it. You know.
I what I'm saying is I do feel good that I gave her a wonderful experience and opened her up.
Yeah, good. I mean, that's all
that
it has to be.
Plant. That's what happened. So.
Yeah. So, I don't know. If I were you, I would, you know, again, this is funny. This is kind of seems to be the thread so far of this conversation, even though this wasn't what we had intended to talk about. But it's still a very, very important concept, and I'm happy to talk about it, is that once you level up as a man, you get into a place where, you know, 99.9 repeating percent of men don't get, and that is where you go, okay, well, yeah, I can have any woman I want, but who do I want? You know? And that's where you want to be. You want to be there. That's good. You know, a lot of guys get scared when they get there, and I don't blame them. I got scared, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, and I'm going to give up a great thing on most levels, but it's not the total thing.
You know, and I think that people who are committed to settling in most areas of their lives, to those kind of people, I would say, you know what, just sign it off and be done with it, you know? Just be with her. But you're not one of those guys, and you got to know that about yourself. You got to know that you're always going to be reaching for the next thing, you know?
Yeah, that's my nature.
And if you know that about yourself, don't betray yourself by staying in something that you know is not going to make you fulfilled, and it's going to waste her time. You know? Maybe there's a guy that doesn't want kids out there. It's just like you are close, you know? I wouldn't hold my breath to find a guy just like you unless he's in the members area, you know? But it's just,
right.
You know, maybe there's a guy out there that's definitely there's a guy out there that's better for her than you are. And there's a woman out there who's better for you than she is.
You know? Better fit.
What's that?
That a better fit. So
better fit. Yeah, better for you. Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to. If I had settled, I wouldn't be where I am now. I'll tell you that. And I don't recommend it ever. That's what I stand for. I stand for no settling. That's why I do this. You know, if you do this, if you do settle, and then, you know, you'll start blaming stuff on her. It's just not going to work. You know? And it's not just about finding a woman who can have your babies. It's about finding the woman who will have your babies. The woman. Her. You know? There's several women in the world that can do that and that will make you completely happy. You just got to find one of them. You know?
Yeah, well, I have to be honest. That seems like a tall order. Seems like a lot of work.
You know, if you got one life, and like I said, if you want to play it easy, you can stay with this chick and live a privileged lifestyle. But if you want to go for what fulfills you, you're going to have to level it up, man. You know?
I got to step up to the plate and do the work.
Yep. It's not saying it's going to be easy, but I am saying it's going to be worth it.
So, I totally agree.
So, anyway, that's my two cents there.
Well, thanks. I'm depositing it in my bank.
Okay, collect interest on that one. Thanks, Lance. I appreciate your comments, man.
You too. I really respect you. I think you have great credibility, integrity, and you really know your shit, and I mean that.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that. That means a lot to me, especially coming from someone like you, you know? So,
cool.
Awesome. Thank you, man. I'm going to hop on here, and maybe we can get another, save another sure. world over here.
All right. Talk. Bye. All right.
Thanks. All right. We got another question here. We got a few questions on the Q&A section here, too. Several. So it's looking like this is turning into a pretty solid Q&A session. Before I get off this call, I will cover pattern interrupts, but for now, let's keep rolling. We got another somebody in Fort Lauderdale. I'm going to unmute you. Hello?
Hey, Josh?
Yep.
Hey, my name's Brett.
Hey, Brett. How you doing, man?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Good. Brad's here, too, by the way. I didn't even introduce Brad to this call. He's here.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
What's up, Brett? So what's going on?
Alright, so I recently, actually about 2 weeks ago, just started learning your Tao Badass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my first time actually involving myself in developing consciously this way.
Mm-hmm.
To put a little background, about 4 years ago, I had some friends actually while I was in my undergrad, and we were doing this, and I actually got a girlfriend from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then upon breaking up with her, I put a lot of the negative emotion into what I learned.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently, about a month ago, realized that and came to terms with it and thus stumbled upon your book and started reactively developing myself
right.
this way.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, I almost purposely forgot a lot of the things, although a lot of times, like my original approach to anxiety is not necessarily there.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm at the issue of I don't always remember how to go from one introduction type banter line to the next and
yeah.
how to really string a progressive conversation with either a girl or just a random person that I want to get to know better.
So you're basically wondering how to string them together like that and how you can get over that sort of hump?
Yeah, I guess I can get over that hump so I can actually start incorporating comfortably the things that you were talking about in your book.
Right. Okay, good. So first off, you're never going to be able to perform them comfortably. If you're trying to do this in a comfortable way, it's not going to happen. I mean, you're going to be uncomfortable. I hope you're okay with that.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
Okay, good. I just wanted to be clear before I started. That's all right. It's okay if you're uncomfortable. It's supposed to be that way, you know. So no worries there. So if you want to start stringing these things together, first off, that's a really, everything you said so far leads me to believe that you got your head screwed on straight, which is great because you're going through a very natural process, the process of realizing that this is possible to learn it, to actually learn how to be better with women, and then attempting to do it, getting some, covering some ground and becoming better, and then getting a girlfriend and feeling like you're done, right? And then...
Yeah, because originally that was my goal.
Right, exactly, right? So that makes sense, right? And then it not working out, and then saying, that didn't work out, and then painting all your experience that led you there with the same color, right? Which is completely natural. And then considering that again, and then going at it again. So this is really good. This is a really good process that you've gone through, right? This is sort of a rite of passage, so to speak, Brett, in this area. So you've gone through that. You've gone through your rite of passage. You're here now. So now this is the funny thing is that this is where the actual growth happens. This is where you get really, really good, you know, at this point. So your specific questions like this, anytime you have anything like this, I want you to ask it and find the answer immediately so you don't waste time, you know. This is just a side note. I haven't answered your question yet, obviously, but please remember that because as you continue, you are going to have more questions like this that are sort of technique sounding, and it's going to remind you of what you were studying before, and it'll make you feel like you're headed down the same path, but you're not, and I need you to trust yourself on that. Trust that you're going to the next level and not reverting backward, okay? That's the first thing. Outside of that, the way that you string banter lines together is to have a series of banter lines that work well with each other. For example, a whole banter line for your trouble, this is one of my favorites from all time, is to say... you know what? I'd like to hang out with you, but I have a feeling that you're trouble. So, you know, I need to go home and get my parents' permission slip before I hang out with you. Right? That's one. Next could be, no, don't try to convince me that you're good. I can see your little devil horns hiding underneath your halo. You cannot fool me. Right? So that's the second one, you know? And then the third might be, all right, look, if you're going to hit on me blatantly, just buy me a drink first. Right? So now you're stringing... another one together. And you're basically leading her down this path where she's trying to backpedal, but she can't because you're bantering so much moving forward that she has to follow your banter, right? She's like overwhelmed with things she wants to backpedal towards and she can't do it. It's too much work, right? So she'll just laugh. It's funny. And of course, you're joking around about this process and you're smiling and everything during the whole experience. So the way that I linked these together is it sounds like you're extroverted. So you're probably going to be have an easier time doing this than most introverted guys would. It sounds like you're extroverted by the way you're talking, by the way. Did you get that sense too? Can you tell that yet, Brad? No, just in general, when you hear somebody, you can kind of tell it. An introvert from an extrovert?
Definitely.
Brad's an introvert.
We can just talk right now and you can tell the difference between the way that we talk.
Yeah, so Brad's basically constructing his sentence and then saying it, you know? And I'm starting as talking, and then I have no idea where I'm going, so I just keep talking until I figure it out, right? And I've been doing this forever, because this is who I am, an extroverted. You're extroverted too, which means that the best way for you to figure this out is actually going to be in the moment, but have a foot in your banter lines. Now, let me explain how to do that, because this is kind of a weird thing. You're having a conversation, but remember, your conversation doesn't mean anything, right? Because you're bantering. Yeah. It's not a real conversation. It's content-free conversation. So since your conversation doesn't really mean anything, then you have nothing to lose by having part of your brain in your sort of bucket of banter lines, right? And what you want to do is free association. This is like a really powerful technique used by improv comedians. And what they do is, so for example, Brett, I'm going to say a word. I want you to say the first word that comes to mind, okay?
All right.
Boat.
Ship.
Okay, great. So I can tell you didn't think about that because you didn't try to impress me, right? You're just like, ship. It's the same thing as a boat, but whatever. It doesn't really matter, okay? I'm going to do another one, okay? Tree.
All right. Branch.
Okay, great. So this is what you're doing. You're automatically just taking it to another level. You're going, picture a tree and it reminds you of something, then you say what you see, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I were to say, you know what? You can help me pick up chicks. What do you picture?
I see her walking with me around the bar, and I send her in to talk to a girl, and then I go meet her after she makes the original introduction as, like, her friend or her, you know, some playful word with boyfriend association.
Okay. So here's what you say, right? This is exactly, you just wrote this. I'm just going to say it back to you, okay? You're cute. You can help me pick up girls. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk around the bar with me, and then we're going to find somebody that's cute. And what I want you to do is go up and talk to her, and then I'm going to be your wingman. I'm going to swing in, and you can help me pick up these chicks. All right? Go. Right? So that's your banter line string. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, it's that easy. The thing that you're doing is you're forgetting to have a foot in the banter line bucket, basically. I better say your hand, because if you put your foot in it, it's hard to pull banter lines out with your foot. So your hand in the banter line bucket while you're having a conversation. You just say a banter line, and then the first thing that comes to mind, just keep going with it, right? And just elaborate and make it like you're really planning to do this. And if she's willing to do it, you actually do it. Like, go, okay, let's go. And then put her, you know, take her arm in yours, like, you know, like you're walking down the street with her arm hanging onto your arm, and then you're walking, and then you go, okay, her, ready, go. And she goes in, and if you can role play this, dude, this is like the most powerful thing you can do with banter. So you want to tap into that. You want to just remember that free association. You know what it is? It's not even that you're learning anything. It's that you're giving yourself permission to do this, you know? Because you already do this in your head. You're just going, you just need to realize that this is what banter is. It's what's in your head. You're just not saying it. So you got to say it.
Yeah. You know? So this is almost like what you were saying in one of the videos I've been watching so much of your stuff over the last week, along with other things. You were talking about actually as you got better that you lost your filter on purpose almost.
Say that again?
In one of your videos or online talks I was listening to with you speaking, mm-hmm. you mentioned that as you started improving, you lost your filter in many ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so my filter, it was last night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The filter that I lost for me, I lost lots of filters, but the one that I was talking about in that situation was that I stopped thinking about what I was going to say and started just fucking talking, right? And that is exactly what I mean right now. This is an illustration of that for sure. So you're right on with that. And that's what it's like. And
that might sound really simple, like very natural to an extrovert, but it's the same thing that I did too as an introvert. I just stopped thinking. I mean, naturally I do think about how I form my sentence before I say it, but I just stopped thinking so much about why I was saying things to people. You know, I was just like, I'm just going to say, I just had a thought that occurred to me in my head, and I'm just going to say it out loud to the person that's next to me, you know?
Right. So there's almost no buffer between what goes through your head, almost none. Not that there is none, but almost none, between what goes on in your head and what comes out of your mouth. And because of that, you have a jump on everybody. And this is where wit comes from. Wit is nothing more than free association that has been honed to the point where your natural thought that you go to is something funny, right? And that's all that it is. So if I said tree, you may say something like Ewok, right? That may be like, okay, well, why did you think Ewok? Ewoks are like little furry things that, you know, I guess they live in trees, you know?
Because they use trees to kill the stormtroopers?
That's what it was. It was trees that killed stormtroopers. So like, you know, this is what wit is. That's all it is. There's a formula for it. You know, and you really need to tap into that free association part of you. You got to let that part out. You know, but the benefit that you have being extroverted is that you can start talking and not know where you're going with this. An introvert's not going to do that. They're going to think about it and then say it, but you still have the same power. Introverts typically have a more, what's it like? It's kind of like an extrovert throws a lot of punches, but right. Introverts make a lot of connections.
They just throw the one haymaker.
Yeah, exactly.
And ends the fight.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you know,
Jason and Phineas. Like Phineas has laser pointed wit.
Yeah. So two guys who wrote The Modern Gentleman. Brad got to meet them when we were in New York because they were both visiting there randomly, and it's funny to see them next to each other. Jason Tesoro, who's one of the authors, is extroverted as hell, and is he just the shotgun effect, same as me, just like shooting funny stuff all over the place, and the ones that land, he's like, all right, and he plays them up. And Phineas is sitting there quietly, and then he opens his mouth, and everyone shuts up, and then everyone bursts out laughing, yeah. Right? So he's like, and it just, the stuff that comes out of his mouth is really specific, but he does a really, and he does a really good job of just delivering it properly. But both of them are doing a massive amount of free association, which is why they're able to charm the pants off people, you know, and that is really, you know, what's behind charisma is that free association. So you're there again. When I told you that you're about to level up like crazy, I wasn't kidding. You're going to see some drastic improvements over the next month or two. Hopefully over the next year or two or even more, you know? But yeah. You're going to do a lot. You're going to do a lot faster than I did. I'll tell you that, dude. It took me a long time because I was doing this by myself, without the knowledge yet. So it took me a while to figure this stuff out. So if I were you, I would read through DAO again, you know, watch some more videos and stuff. And just every time you read through or hear something, just write down what you want to try out and go do it, man, because you're in your prime for testing stuff.
Yeah. Actually, what you were just saying and bringing it to one more place, because I know it might not be addressed as often, is during the daytime, I'm walking from my apartment over to school, and I see a cute girl walking around or, you know, an interesting person. You know, the banter line you gave me is great, you know, with, like, the trouble and...
Oh, no, you don't want to use that during the daytime. That's a nighttime banter line. During the daytime, you want to be, you want to tap into a different part of you. Usually, you want to either be super direct or you want to be really goofy, right? So, you may, here's a great one I learned from a movie called Dirty Work with Norm Macdonald. It's like the silliest thing ever, but it's really funny and it works really well. If you see a girl walking and you have to go talk to her, well, if you want to go talk to her, start screaming some random name, right? Like, Mildred! Mildred! Hey, Mildred! Mildred! And then run up and go, Mildred, hey! She's like, oh no, and I'm sorry. That's not my name. And you go, oh, I know. I didn't know it, so I just guessed. And that's it, right? And that's like a really silly, funny thing. Like, you'd be like, hi, my name's Brett. You know? What's your real name? All right, where are we going? Like, your apartment or something? Right? So that's like directly from that movie, right? Directly from that movie. And it's funny, and you're bantering, but it's in broad daylight, so you're not like your trouble. You can say your trouble at a bar or at nighttime because it sort of plays into the naughtiness part of her. But during the daytime, women are a lot more they're a lot less guarded. So recognizing that she's naughty isn't going to be as useful to you. You know, as she starts to play with you a little bit and have a conversation, then you can bring that out. You can be like, you know what? I realize right now that you're trouble, and I got to go because you're going to get me in so much trouble. Just I don't have, you know, again, I don't have a parent's permission slip, I don't, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you're going to make your own banter lines if possible, and just, like, have them in your back pocket, little sayings that Brett says, things, shit that Brett says, you know, and you want to keep those as much as possible and use them out. But another thing you can do is go direct, be like, hey, I just saw you, and I had to come over here and talk to you because you're so gorgeous, you know, I'd kick myself all day if I didn't say hey, so, and then you can go into joking around. Like, so, you know, you want to go to, like, Paris or something, you know, and, I don't know, have coffee at Paris, like, just something ridiculous, so she's kind of giggling a little bit about it, so, that'd be my go-to there, if it's during the daytime. You want to practice that a lot, though. There's a series of banter lines, in the resources tab. I think it's the resources tab for now, until it turns into the bonus tab, but... You can click up there in the members area and get information and find those banter lines and just start memorizing some of them and adding your own, you know?
Yeah.
So, is that helping all, Brett?
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah,
problem. That's very helpful. Like, I feel like I kind of now can actually go out and start using the things that you've been talking about and everything from the DAO, so...
Well, this is all it took? Jesus. I should call everybody who orders the book.
Yeah, that's all it took right here.
Let us know how it works, man.
Yeah, we'll see you in the next call in the beginning of next month as well, and I'm looking forward to seeing how things have been moving. So keep good records so that we know what goes on, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
No problem, Brett. All right, cool. So we're going to get into a few questions here in the Q&A part. Okay, let me see. One was just asking about the dating gurus being in Austin. No, they're all going to Austin right now for a conference. So yeah, so they're actually coming into town. There are some that currently live there, but I think that what's his name? Adam Lyons, I believe, lives in Austin. He's a British, really, really, really intelligent guy. Before he got popular in any kind of way, he was teaching out of my apartment in New York. And
played Magic, by the way.
And played Magic the Gathering. Yeah, he's there. But everyone else, I think, is just basically visiting right now. So I'm going to go ahead and read a question from John here, I believe. Brad, actually, why don't you do this? Will you read through this? And I'm going to take a bathroom break real quick while you do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we might need to swap that, actually.
Oh, really? You should go to
yeah.
the bathroom too?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead and read that out loud so people can get it.
All right. So John's writing, asking, says, in your book you said you have perfect relationships now. What does that mean? Do your girlfriends still test you or try to emasculate you from time to time? When that happens, is it because of something we're doing wrong, or is that part of being a woman? Do girls need a certain level of conflict or drama? I'm at the point where I don't know why they do these things and what to do in those situations. I'm trying to be unreactive and not take it personally, but it's hard, and I'm not sure where to draw a line, if I should be at all. So, so perfect relationships, this is like the, wow, this is a lot of questions, Sean. it's going to help you a lot to do, it sounds like you're dating, you're looking to date multiple people to be polyamorous right now, and I think in that process you're gonna see a lot of these tendencies that you're looking for in different girls. So basically, John has a lot of questions here.
Yeah,
and he's just wondering like if drama and conflict is like a necessary part of
yes, that. It is. And the end of a relationship, yes, it is. The thing that you want to avoid, John, is going to be unnecessary drama or power struggles. These are really, really, really bad in relationships. But I'm starting to see something now that I've never seen before, John. So maybe this is going to help you. I don't know. But I will be releasing this information as soon as I get it solidified because it's going to be life-changing. I've sort of come across an idea for myself, looking back on my past relationships, and I've had several of them, obviously, and I'm noticing that there is a clear path and certain steps and stages that we go through in a relationship with somebody. And, you know, this is probably just as big as coming up with the attraction, rapport, seduction, relationship balance model. So it'll be kind of a big deal when I finally put my finger on it and get to actually defining it. But ultimately, in the beginning, you have a lot more trust factor problems. Like, you know, she's not really sure if she can trust you or not. She's not sure if you're really going to be a man or a leader. She's not sure if compliance should stop on her end because she's not sure yet. So instead, you have to, instead of just like being like, hey, look, we should be completely cool with this, which is not really the case, you have to be willing to push through that with her even after you're exclusive with each other. So, but if you're doing this and it's been longer than, you know, a year, let's say, then you've got a problem. And some women, it's a lot easier for them to open up and just let go of all the tests and everything. And some women, it's really hard because they've been screwed a lot, you know. And most women have, especially now, have been used by so many guys that they are jaded. And if you live in a big city, it's going to be even worse. They're going to be even more jaded and less open. And they'll self-sabotage. So you kind of have to be, and Alex sort of described this yesterday. He said that if a woman is like a storm, then a man is like the sky in which that storm exists, right? So it's kind of like, no matter what happens, if there's a storm or not, the sky is always there. It's always solid. It's always, you know, it's always going to be there. Until we have polar shift in December of 2012 and we all die. Now I'm totally kidding, by the way. No one, unless if we don't have it, if we have any fear-driven people around the apocalypse or anything like that. I don't believe that's going to happen. We'll still be here. So keep showing up to these things. So I guess the big thing that you need to recognize here, John, is how much rapport does she really need? The more rapport you have, the fewer trust issues you have. The fewer trust issues you have from her perspective, the more open she becomes and the fewer tests she gives you and the less she tries to emasculate you, things like this. If you've been dating her for a while, longer than a year, I'd say, and she's still doing it, you're done, dude. I mean, she's never going to go there. Or you've been doing something wrong this entire time, which is actually pretty likely, not because it's you, John, but just because I don't know whether or not you screw up a lot. I have no idea. But just because if you've been focusing on it and you've been attempting to really improve the relationship for a long period of time, it's very likely that she has some kind of a block around this that you're going to have to overcome. So you have to decide whether or not you want to work through that with her or you want to, move on. So let's see what we got here and make sure I'm getting everything through here. We said you're trying to be unreactive and not take it personally. Well, you know what? You shouldn't try to be unreactive and not take it personally. That makes sense in the beginning of an interaction whenever you don't have any kind of exclusivity, whenever you're not investing anything into the interaction because it's during banter. But when you get into rapport with somebody, if they start to attack you, like emotionally, take it personally because it is personal. Don't kid yourself. You know, if it's a personal attack, it's a personal attack. And whenever someone gets that close to you, usually they'll attack you because they're scared to open up, because they're not sure if they can really trust you. Because if they do, they're going to want to be with you forever, and they don't know if that's really okay or not, if they really should do that or not. So you got to ask yourself, if you push through this, you're going to come out the other side, and she's going to basically be your slave, you know, and she'll want to be with you forever. And if you want that, then push through it. But if you don't want that, then don't push through it. I know it might sound kind of silly for me to say if you don't want a girl to be your slave and be with you forever, then, you know, blah, blah. But it is a concern, you know. You got to think, do I actually want to be this girl for a long period of time or maybe even forever? And if you do, then, go ahead and push forward and get her through that. Bring her out the other side of that and just let her know, hey, like that doesn't make me feel very good when you do that. So if as long as you do that, I will feel bad. If you want me to feel bad, then keep doing it, you know. So and as long as she hears you say that in that way, she'll either stop or she will decide to leave because she doesn't want it. You know, she's too afraid. And if she's going to block off forever, the only thing you need from her is a willingness to continue, a willingness to push through and get out the other side. If you have that, then you're good. If you don't have that, then you're doomed. So you got to figure out where she stands on that. And you don't want to come straight out and say, so tell me the truth. Do you want this to work or not? That's not gonna work for you. Anytime you do that, you push the very large majority percentage over to her leaving. It's very likely she'll leave. So that's that. I hope that helps, John. I'm not sure if it did or not, but hopefully it did. I'm just kind of going through. Looks like Vince sent us a little note here. Is there any question here, Brad?
No.
Okay, so I'll check your note out in a bit, Vince, and I'll get the questions here. So Tony's got a question. It's quite long, so I'm going to try to breeze through a few parts. Says, it's a follow-up from last week. So he says that, let's see, he talked about the girl he was attracted to from work, who's moving to New York City in several days, had an awesome connection, and then she started acting like less feisty after we spent a night together, and we went into deep rapport and some seduction. This past week, she still acted rather boring via text and cold, not much fun and banter, that sort of thing. But then she asked to work out with me, which seemed weird. That is strange. I agree. She said she had a workout for me that's going to kick my ass. We worked together in the gym, personal trainer, okay, blah, blah. So I agreed to let her show me what she's got, and we're working out tomorrow. I know you mentioned I should bring up the fact that she's moving, and I'm cool with it, in an environment outside work, yet tomorrow maybe the last time we spend together at the gym before she moves away. Since New York City isn't too far from me and a place I visit on occasion, I assume she'll visit home as well. So, okay. Wondering what my take is on her actions and how he should play tomorrow when they meet up. Okay. Well, Tony, you're going to have to bring it up tomorrow. at work. So here's what she's doing. She's being cold, and then she's trying to bring you back because she's not really sure what she wants. She's conflicted. That should be pretty clear to you because she is acting conflicted. She's saying one thing, and then she's doing another thing 10 minutes later, basically, you know. She doesn't know how to feel. She doesn't know if it's okay for her to want to be around you. And then she's getting emotional and feeling lonely. Then she's getting in touch with you, trying to connect again. And then whenever she doesn't feel lonely anymore, she's like splitting, basically, and trying to be cold to you so she doesn't drag you along and make you want to move to New York. You're going to have to bring this up tomorrow. So that's the answer to that one. My take on how she's been acting, it's completely natural. She's super conflicted, you know? And I would even let her know that it's okay, you know, that's okay if she is conflicted. It's okay if she feels a little confused because you do too. And you know, you don't, you're not going to follow her to New York, but you'll be up there to visit every once in a while, and it'd be really cool to hang out with her, you know, if you head up there. If not, if you don't get to see her because she's busy or whatever, it's not a big deal either, you know? But you're going to need to address this, because since you didn't address it since the last call, this is getting worse. And that's what you're experiencing right now. You're experiencing it getting worse and worse and worse. And tomorrow, it's going to come to a head, and she's going to try to avoid whatever she can until she splits. So you need to bring it up and be a man about it, you know, and say, I'm not saying you're not a man. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to insult you or anything like that. But you do need to man up, you know, and say, all right, look, I gotta talk to you about this because I know you're leaving soon. And I wanted to let you know, it's okay that you're leaving. It's all right, and it's okay. I think I had a really great time with you while you were in town. If you say this to her before she leaves tomorrow, she'll probably go back to how she was before. Before she started getting cold and weird, she'll probably go back to being normal again until she splits. You know, and then she'll split, and that'll be that. You know, or you know, maybe you'll hang out there a few times. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen? But for sure. Because you didn't talk about it last time, you are now in the situation that you're in. So, you have to talk about it tomorrow, or if not, sooner, if possible. I wouldn't get her on the phone. I definitely would do it in person. It's kind of like breaking up with somebody. It's like really, really sensitive subject to talk about. So, yeah, so anyway, that's what you want to do. You want to take time to really talk to her about it tomorrow, even though it's at work. And, you know, get her off to the side a little bit, preferably while you're not clocked in, you know, either before or after work. And just let her know that everything's cool, you know, and really act like it is. Even if you have a little bit of a hard time with it, you know, you don't want to say, oh, I'm totally cool with it, whatever, you know, and pretend like you're not having a hard time. But let her know that it's okay, even if it's a little bit tough for you. And if it is tough for you, say, look, it's a little bit tough for me, but I want you to know it's okay. It's completely okay. So... that's my advice to you there, buddy. And it's a tough one to get into. It sounds like a lot of people are like on the verge of beginning anew here on this call. So I'm not sure if it's like the summer's around the corner and the winter's ending, you know, for some of us. I'm not sure if that's how it is for everybody. At least for the Northern Hemispherers out there. So, whatever it is, there seems to be a lot of that going on. DL, how's it going, brother? I got a question for you. It says, I've been classified as an introvert, but so much of my personality seems extroverted. I guess that getting comfortable to be carefree and just speak to anyone does not necessarily mean I may have been misclassified. Is that a fair statement? Yeah, you are an introvert, DL. I know that you are because you carefully craft your statements. You are quick. You're quick-witted. So that's a common misconception about introverts, is that they're not quick-witted, that they're slow. You're not. You're quick-witted. So you're just a quick-witted extrovert. I mean, a lot of extroverts are quick-witted, you know. But I can tell by the way you talk, and Brad, you can probably speak to this too, since I've seen you and I know you, DL, and I've been around you, I know that you are an introvert because you will essentially not waste your words. I've never heard you start a sentence and then stop halfway through and go, I don't know where I'm going with this, ever. But you bet your ass I've done that several times. I do it daily. I try to practice that every day, you know. But ultimately, you're an introvert, and that's okay. And that's perfectly good. That's your superpower. Part of your powers is being introverted. And you have to be okay with that. Being introverted and being good at it is really, really important. Some of the best dating coaches in the world are introverts. And definitely, most of the best pickup artists in the world are introverts. They just, you don't know that about them because they talk a bunch. You know, and they have stuff just to rattle off in case they run out of stuff to say. So keep that in mind and be okay with it because it's part of who you are. So since that's the last question I had on there, we didn't really go too much into pattern interrupts. But we did earlier in the month, so I'm just going to breeze through this real quick and kind of go into what a pattern interrupt is and how to use it. And I'll give you an example of a really great one that I've said before that's really fantastic. An autopilot response is something that we create to help us do stuff that we don't want to have to think about doing. For example, driving. Once you learn how to drive, it's a really complicated process. So you begin to, your subconscious mind recognizes it as too complicated for you to constantly be consciously aware of. So it starts to drive for you, right? It starts to do all these little things. I mean, you're really putting your life and everyone's life around you in imminent danger every second that you're in the car, and you might wonder how you can get in a car knowing that you could die getting in that car, drive to a place and then get out and then not remember anything about the drive that, you know, when you got there. And the reason why you can do that is because your subconscious mind is driving the car, not you. Subconscious mind has better reaction time. It's got better pattern recognition, so it can see when things are about to happen a lot better. It's got better connection to your actions, meaning that if you experience something, you'll get an emotion immediately if your subconscious mind is driving the car, so to speak, or even just if your subconscious mind is behind something. It allows your conscious mind to be able to go think about other stuff. So it's a lot of really good reasons why you have a pattern. So we get in patterns in any in all sorts of different environments. Driving a car is one. Crossing the street, when you cross the street, you have a pattern where you look both ways, you know, because it's been ingrained in your brain that you have to do that. These are all belief systems that that cause us to sort of zone out a little bit. So girls are in autopilot responses or patterns often, especially when they are in experiencing stuff that they've experienced a lot, that they don't really particularly enjoy, right? So if she's having a at work or something and she's experiencing a dull day at work, it's very likely you're not talking to a girl in her most pure sense. You're talking to a pattern, someone who's putting on the hat of I'm an employee, that kind of thing. So the reason why we do that is very, very important and very good. And then what you want to know is how do you break these patterns, because that's what you want to do. You want to break these patterns so that she snaps out of it, and then all of a sudden she is there with you and you're the only person that she remembers for the entire day. So this is very, very important. The way that you can break someone out of a pattern is to ask them something or let them experience something that is similar to what they'd expect, but a little bit different. So their subconscious mind has to snap them up and wake them up a little bit, right? So for example, instead of saying, how you doing today? That's a pattern, right? So we have answers to that pattern in our mind. Oh, I'm doing great. How about you, right? That's a pattern response. Autopilot response, as we call them. And but if you said, how's work going so far today? That would be a completely different thing. That would be something that she'd have to wake up to answer. So the interaction will become real if you do that. Another thing you can do is that if you see someone, you know someone's name, and you feel like they're kind of getting into a pattern with you, a lot of girls who are on the dance floor or in loud clubs get into patterns. Once you find their name out, then if you use their name in sentences when you talk to them, like, so tell me James, or Janie, right? I was going to say Jane, but Janie. Why are you blah blah blah? How fun is it to be so much taller when you put on these heels? Because these things are awesome. I have a pair at home. They look better on me. I will say that, but they look good on you too. You know, I'll let you borrow mine sometime. Though I'm not sure if we're the same size foot. So like that's a banter line. But if you use her name in conjunction with the banter lines, you'll start to snap her out of it as well, and she'll feel like she's in what's called an us bubble. And that's where she feels like it's you and her and your friends and you're connected and everyone else is in the enemy, basically. This is why, let me see what I'm saying here. I don't know why I'm writing this down. This is why memories are more vivid from an experience that you have at nighttime. So, like, if you think about your day yesterday, it may be hard to think about what you did in the middle of the daytime, but if you think about what you did last night, it's a little easier to remember. Because when you start to get, things start to get dark, and you sort of shift into a higher melatonin response and melatonin creation and things like that, and you start to slow down a little bit, you snap out of your autopilot, right? You become aware of what's going on around you. You slow your subconscious down, and your conscious mind begins to take control of your body, and then you go to sleep, right? So if you look back on your life, if you had to think back on everything in every day in your life and experience it, you'd remember a series of nights more than you'd remember a series of day experiences. Except for childhood memories, because that's before you had an autopilot response that was developed, right? You build these up over time, and when you were little, you didn't have any autopilot responses, so you couldn't, there's nothing you could do about that. So don't try to break these patterns too harshly. If people resist a little bit, if you're like, so how's work going today? And they go, good, and you? Then just let it go, right? Because that means they're trying to stay in that sort of unconscious state of existing at that moment. People who are really busy, and they're trying to not think about what they're doing will get annoyed if you do this, if you try to keep pushing. And what you want to do is whenever you do break a pattern, it sort of gives her this knight in shining armor kind of response to you. It'll seem like you just popped up out of nowhere and she didn't see it coming. Like, I was just standing there and then I looked up and there he was, and I didn't even expect to meet anybody, right? Because that's how she built her interactions. So what you want to do is you want to be that sort of knight in shining armor for that moment. And whenever you do break someone out of a pattern, it's really important to go direct immediately right when you do that, if you can. So if you do break someone out of it, not just if you're using their name, but if you snap them out, like say during the daytime especially, because we have a lot of patterns during the daytime, if you snap them out of a pattern interrupt during the daytime and you approach them and you say something, it's if you go direct with it, you'll get a much, much greater positive response from women, because now they're thinking, okay, well, I just looked up and then there's this guy telling me how gorgeous I was, right? Or how beautiful my eyes were, stuff like that. And that's when it works. It won't work like that if she has her guard up or she has an autopilot response. So you got to keep that in mind. That's it, though, guys. I hope that helps. Sure it did. If it didn't help, then something's wrong with you. but thank you very much for checking this out and being here on this call. The next call is going to be... Let me just see this. It will be... Hold on one moment here. Oops. There we go. It will be on the, is that the 8th? No, that's not right. Sorry. It'll be on the 10th. I realize I have something else on the 3rd. So it would be on the 3rd, but our next one's going to be on the 10th. So we will go 10th, 17th, and then Brad will be taking over the 24th there. So the 10th and the 17th will be the next two. So mark that down in your calendar and check that out, of course. So this is the last one for this month. And next month, we're going to get into a completely different topic. And that topic is, drumroll, excuse processes. So we're going to be talking about how to recognize when you have an excuse process that's stopping you from really approaching and attracting beautiful women, and how to break it down and quit it from happening, sort of like in the excuse process, and force quit, so to speak. And we may get a little bit into how to keep women excited while you're talking to them, how to keep their energy up. It's called keeping them from dropping state. That's what it's called. So you want to keep them in a state of really excited, you know, comfortable, excited interaction while you're talking to them. Especially if you're trying to bounce them to your place, you don't want them to drop down all of a sudden and get tired and want to go home, stuff like that. So we'll probably be talking about both those things on the next call, really over the next month, really, and it'll be a lot of detail. So definitely stay tuned for that and check it out. Thank you guys again, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks on that call. Appreciate it, guys.